All right, it's a very important ruling yesterday coming from a judge from the northern portion of New York State. That's what we're going to discuss right now. That's where I bring in my friend Andrew Lieb, the managing attorney over at Lieb Law. Of course, everybody knows Andrew Lieb as far as LI News Radio is concerned. Does some great work and everything as far as the show. And we welcome you. Good to have you aboard again, my friend. I haven't spoken to you in a while. You okay?
It's been too long, Jay. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man. But I tell you, when it comes to situations of this nature yesterday, I look to Andrew Lieb because I know you can decipher it as best as anyone. And folks, I'm talking about New York State to now allow a religious exemption to its coronavirus vaccine mandate. I'm talking for healthcare workers, at least temporarily. So you have this federal judge upstate ordering yesterday, thus suspending a rule providing no exemptions. Give me the thought process, Andrew, regarding Judge David N. Hurd, he of the U.S. District Court. And we're talking for the northern New York, that being in Utica, sir.
Yeah, that was a great intro to what the judge did. But I want to tell you the subtext is more important than the text. And what that means is he said there's a religious accommodation exemption. So if you have a sincerely held religious belief in the medical or health fields, and there was this vaccine mandate that was going into effect on the 27th, that was the deadline to get a vaccine, your first dose. What he's saying is that now they have to recognize an accommodation, and there's a little confusion there, Jay, because we're talking the word exemption, but it's really not an exemption, it's an accommodation. So backing up for a second, whenever there's a policy in the workplace, there's a law called Title VII, and that's a discrimination law. And what that law says is you can have a policy in the workplace, but people that have health issues and sincerely held religious beliefs may get a different type of policy called an accommodation. Not a clear cut, you don't have to do it and you just come to work, but maybe something that's less severe. So maybe wear masks, maybe get tested often. I don't think that people that have sincerely held religious beliefs are now going to be able to just go work in the medical field like a lot do. There's going to have to be some sort of accommodation mitigating in the middle.
Interesting. I'm just wondering, why was this not thought of from the get-go? Because it seems like it's a very simple way of thinking. And I'm talking from a legal type of situation. And with ramifications, why was that not thought of originally by the judge who gave us, the first way of doing things here?
So what a great question. So let's start off with it was thought of originally. Originally, when Governor Cuomo was in charge, there was this requirement that you were going to have all the medical personnel have to get vaccinated by a certain date. It's the 27th of September for hospitals, and then it goes to October for some other folks. And in that original rule, that original New York Code of Rules and Regulations, it had both a health and a religious exemption. When Cuomo lost all his powers and everything, not when he resigned, but before that, when they stripped him of his emergency powers, all those kind of went away. But then Governor Hochul put out a new mandate. And in her new mandate, for some reason, it didn't have the religious exemption. But, Jay, I want to point out something very important. The judge did not make a final decision. The judge didn't even make a preliminary decision. There's three types of injunctions. One's called a temporary restraining order. Then there's a preliminary injunction. Then there's a permanent injunction. In English, what that means is first there's a pause before I can think. Then there's pause during the case. Then there's pause into the future. The only thing the judge did with this TRO is say, hey, government, don't do anything till the 22nd, and then you can say if you want to oppose a pause during this case. And just if we do math, the 22nd is 5 days before the deadline anyway. So there's a lot that's going to happen in the next week on this. This isn't a final decision whatsoever. It's a pause for now.
It's temporary. And that's where, folks, it becomes a little complicated is Andrew just pointed out in tremendous fashion. So let's just accentuate here what we know. This is kind of a partial suspension, correct? And Andrew, So Hurd's deal here is a partial suspension. So, again, key word here I think is temporary. It's a temporary restraining order that applies across the state and will last until what? The 27th, the 28th, or whatever it is.
The 22nd.
When, and, 22nd, yeah. Right. When Judge Hurd is to hear, I guess, oral arguments on this. So it doesn't, as a kind of a practical matter, go into effect until that date, which is September 27th, right?
Correct.
And that's when the healthcare workers must have gotten at least one vaccine dose. I guess that, you know, obviously that's a condition of employment. So very interesting, very complicated, but that is a key component here as far as David N. Hurd's partial suspension. And again, the key word here, temporary, correct?
It's definitely temporary, and I also need to point out that if I was going to bet my bippy, I would say we would have another decision before that 27th date, because the government hasn't been heard yet. And so I could see two different things happening, the government fighting back, or the government would be smart to just rewrite the regulation and say, hey, we have this vaccine mandate, except if you have a sincerely held religious belief. And then the question becomes, is your accommodation, are you saying, hey, I can't get the vaccine, is that going to pose what's called an undue hardship? And I see a very difference between a medical researcher claiming an exemption and someone who is a patient-seeing physician or nurse. Those people are going to be hard-pressed to say, I don't want a vaccine, and I also don't want to wear masks, and I also don't want to be tested. That's going to be a challenge to get that approved.
And, you know, you look at these two nurses at a Syosset hospital, Andrew, who objected to the shots. And again, the grounds of religious freedom. And, of course, we know that that is a guarantee of the First Amendment there. So, interesting regarding that case, the appeal to the U.S. Court of Appeals, Second Circuit, whose jurisdiction, by the way, is all of the state of New York there. And that's another caveat of all this, correct?
100%, and there's multiple cases going all around everywhere, but I need to point this out so everyone's clear. 1905, let's bring you back to 1905. The U.S. Supreme Court, the highest court, heard a case called Jacobson v. Massachusetts. And in that case, there was a criminal penalty if you didn't get a vaccine. There was no accommodations for health or religion. There was a criminal penalty. And the U.S. Supreme Court said the state could order a vaccine. So that's the underpinnings of what we're hearing all these cases. So the question isn't really, are nurses, doctors, employees, students going to be able to not get a vaccine and nothing? The question is, are they going to be able to say, hey, I have a religious need, as you said, the Constitution, religious freedom, or health accommodation? And are we going to be able to mediate some sort of solution where the person could work there and the entire hospital system doesn't experience a hardship, an undue hardship, where patients and other staff members are at risk?
It is unbelievable. I'll tell you, this has so many different angles here. Talking with Andrew Lieb, you know, common sense would say, okay, I'm a healthcare worker. We're getting inundated as far as this new variant pandemic still on. You look at the cases on Long Island surpassing 900. It has not gone away, nor is it going to. You look at the, you know, you could certainly have a very simple deduction here as far as how to attack this Delta variant, and that is to get the shot. We know, but neither here nor there. It's always interesting, and this is what I said yesterday regarding mandates. Mandates, to me, are very dangerous because you open up Pandora's box all over again. So many different angles and whatnot here. And when you bring the legalese into this, Andrew Lieb, things start to get even worse. And that's the danger of defiance here, especially when it comes from the courts, the governor, even the president of the United States, you know?
Jay, you said something so smart there. You said two different words. Mandates are dangerous because of defiance. Defiance and mandates. A lot of people are out there that don't really have sincerely held religious beliefs or health reasons. And they just don't want to be told what to do. It's their life, their liberty. I had a fellow call me up at my law firm. We do employment law. And he called me up and he said, hey, it's my body. It's my temple. It's my decision. No one tells me what to do. And I think that you're so right that the messaging of mandates could dissuade people from participating in the solution. sometimes we have to help with giving honey instead of a stick.
This is what I said, you know, regarding, you know, when you mock anti-vaxxers, you're going down a dangerous road. Listen, there are skeptics everywhere, okay? The problem is, if you really want to peel back the onion here, a lot of folks are being fed misinformation. You will not convince those individuals who are on the fence to get the shot. You just won't. I mean, the inclination really is to show people that we care about them. It's not about winning an argument here, okay? There has been so much bombardment with messaging here, and mainly pro-vaccine messaging. The tone matters, folks. That's what it comes down here. And the top reasons why people just don't get the jabs, because A, misinformation. We talk about that all the time. And I'm bringing Andrew into this as far as, you know, kind of politicizing here, but that's what it is. And he could talk about anything. But the fact of the matter is, there is plenty of concern regarding side effects, plenty of concern regarding newness of this vaccine. We know FDA approval has been very slow. You got a Pfizer, Moderna, where is it? Who knows? And the main thing is, in my estimation, is the distrust in government. And that's why you have these encounters right now, and protesters, and lawsuits, okay? That's why the state of Arizona, if you woke up today and read this, is the first state to fight back now against this administration as far as the mandates are concerned. So, Andrew, that's pretty much the way I kind of I laid it out yesterday, but, you know, when you mock skeptics, this is what happens now.
You use the right word, tone. It's all about tone. And I think there's a larger lesson here, although I agree with everything you said. And we always talk about this. I teach negotiating. We have a course on negotiating. When you push someone into a corner, they're going to punch back. Have you ever been in a fight? Rocky always hit back. And what we're doing is we're making people feel like, hey, this big government you don't understand. Hey, this messaging out there that you can't tell which is right and which is wrong. Hey, now go do something. You're making people backed into a corner. So I don't know what the right answer is. And people smarter than me, Jay, maybe you, but people smarter than me have to find the answer. But what I would say to everyone is that you got to comb through that information. And what you have to see is, how did they get their information? A lot of times when you're watching TikTok or Facebook or YouTube, it's someone that says, hey, a nurse said, hey, a doctor said. What you really want to do when you're going for information is find the underlying study. Is there a study that made them believe that? Otherwise, it's just someone's opinion masked up in credentials.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I'll tell you, great information, great spot. We're going to keep on top of this because we got some important dates, the 22nd, 27th, 28th. David N. Hurd coming across yesterday. Again, temporary restraining order. We'll see. You know, we'll watch this other case with these nurses at a Syosset hospital. I tell you, there's a lot of moving parts here, Andrew Leib.
I'm buckled up. I hope you're buckled up. We're going to have cases, as you mentioned, Arizona. We're going to have the federal case that's going on with these nurses. We have this case going on in New York. And then what I said often is that we're going to have individuals after they've established whether they can have the mandate or not. And, Jay, this is the next frontier that no one's thinking about. Assuming you can get an accommodation, assuming you should get an accommodation, people are going to fight about what that accommodation is. And what we really need is government to come out and say, hey, if someone has a medical issue, if someone has a sincerely held religious belief, what is option B? What is option C if they're not going to get a vaccine? Because otherwise the courts are going to get flooded by individuals suing for discrimination, claiming that they didn't get the accommodation they want. And as a society, that's just a waste of resources, and it disenfranchises people more that they have to battle for their job. We need to come up as a society with solutions. Like I said, maybe twice a week testing. I don't know. Maybe having masks. I only get that because the Supreme Court they denied overturning. But the Seventh Circuit heard Indiana University, which was the first college to have a vaccine mandate. And they said, hey, we have an exemption twice a week, testing and masks. And that seemed to be the right one. I want to know what that frontier is going to be next.
Kind of reminds me a little bit back in the Cuomo days with the measles, Andrew Leib, and the fact, you know, listen, you had to have the shot, right? Because we knew the measles was making its way in and around the state, the city especially. Remember, Rockland County had a massive problem. But then again came the old exemption as far as religious freedoms are concerned, and the shots itself, and the kids and the families. And listen, that kind of comes into mind as a bit of a correlation here, you know?
100%. And as a lawyer, we go with something called precedent. A lot of people ask about my opinion a lot, and you use the word politicization a second ago. But really what I do is I just say, hey, it happened before. Nothing's new. It happened before. Let's see what happened before. And the best corollary, like you said, for the state is this measles. We had an outbreak in Brooklyn. It was going all over the place, and we had emergency directives. If you listen back to the Leapcast of months ago, I said the first place they're going to require vaccines are the schools. Why? Because they did it then. And what we saw is L.A. County, they beat Biden. I don't know if you saw this. L.A. County School District was the first place to have a vaccine mandate in the schools. And why? That's the easiest place for government to control, although battlegrounds there as well.
We saw yesterday as far as a possible recall. That will not take place. Interesting stuff. Talk to me. Are you now? Listen, I should know this, but I'm going to ask you because you're a good friend. You still are doing the show, I hope, on LA News.
So I'm still doing the show, but we're not on LA News as of 2 weeks ago. We're doing a few mix-ups. We're changing things up, Jay. We might be back. We might not be back. We're doing a few change-ups. You know, we have the Chazaka, Mordechai Yankovic. He comes on. He tells us what's going on. We have Lauren Leib. We have myself. This is the Leibcast we're talking about. We're still on podcast right now. We're trying to change it up a little, Jay. You know, here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. We're concerned that we're getting into the fray of being politicized. We're concerned about tribal politics. And what we're trying to do is deliver a message that's straight in the middle, saying, hey, we're not going to tell you about how current events are Republican or Democrats. We're going to tell you, hey, here's how it affects your business and your real estate. So what we're trying to do is really reformat a little. We brought on some new teams and we pulled it for a few while. You know, like the Daily Show takes the summer off. Why can't I have a few weeks?
Well, you know what? You get a couple of weeks, but I want your, you know what, back on LA News Radio. How's that? Did you belong there?
Well, appreciate
and listen,
it.
We're going to follow you here. You know you have a stage anytime you need it. I want you back. We got to follow this. This is important. Andrew Leib, managing attorney, Leib Law. Nobody better than Mr. Leib at this type of stuff. I'll tell you that. And a lot of other things, too. Sir, I look forward to the next time. Let's not have a bit of a gap as we had here. How's that?
Yay, awesome. And we'll keep you updated as this case progresses and the other ones, because everyone in Long Island needs to know what their rights are. It's better not to guess. You know, you don't need to get misinformation. You just go to Jay Oliver and you know what's going on.